Hello, friends, and welcome back to Through the Word. My name is Peyton Jones, and I'll be your guide today on our journey through Acts chapter 3, where we learn where to look to see God working. I'm sure you've been at a stoplight or parking lot where someone's begging, holding up a cardboard sign, asking for spare change or a helping hand. It's uncomfortable sometimes, and so you might look away, pretend to fiddle with the radio, or even look ahead into the distance and try not to blink. In our story today, Peter refuses to pass by a resident beggar who's been camped outside the temple gate called Beautiful for such a long time, he's become a fixture. He'd be easy to miss. Verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Notice that Peter says, "Look at us." Like many beggars, this man's shame has him looking down to the ground. He's the object of pity and scorn, and people feeling all the same emotions toward him that people do today, like, "Why doesn't he get a job, lazy bum?" But Peter knows he has worth, because in Jesus, everyone does. Peter wanted him to know that Jesus saw him not just as another beggar, but someone who was loved and worth human dignity. Verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Man, I love the little details like his feet and ankles become strong. So strong that he doesn't just walk, he actually jumps to his feet. And he starts worshiping and leaping and jumping. This is such a contrast to his sitting at the gate. And although we never catch his name, everyone knew who he was because he had become such a fixture in Jerusalem. In Laguna Beach, California, near where I grew up, there's a statue on a street corner where a homeless man nicknamed the Greeter has been immortalized. Like the Greeter, this beggar at the gate was so well known, it stopped the people who used to walk by this man in their very tracks. Now, those people stood rooted at the gate, their eyes looking to Peter and John in amazement and excitement. For the beggar, Peter didn't have gold or silver. Instead, he had a miracle. But now to the crowd looking on, he doesn't have a miracle. He has a message. Verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Wait, did you catch that? First, Peter told the man born blind, "Look at us." But now he's telling the crowd, "Don't look at us." This is because he wants them to look to Jesus. And that's exactly what the rest of the chapter does through Peter's sermon. It points all of us back to Jesus. So let's jump back in at verse 13. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and you asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Peter doesn't want anyone to think he has magic powers. Instead, he wants people to know that the power is in Jesus and Jesus alone. If you've ever seen a movie where a person grabs another person's head and makes them look at something gruesome, Peter has just made them face five inconvenient truths. Number one, the God of your heroes validated Jesus with miracles. Verse 13. Then you handed him over to be killed, and when Pilate was going to let him go, you pressured him into murdering Jesus anyways. Number three, you disowned the Holy One, choosing a murderer instead. Number four, you killed the author of life, and whoa, that's some serious wordsmithing. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. And then Peter goes on, we witnessed this. And then, lastly, Peter drives it home. God just healed a man in front of you in the name of the Jesus you crucified. You can see where this is going. He's going to confront them with, now, what are you going to do about it? But first, he eases the bitter pill with a bit of sugar coating in verse 17. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins might be wiped out, at times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. And there it is, the call to action. He's made them look at what they did, but now he's making them look to God for forgiveness. That's why he uses the word repent. It actually means to turn around and look the other direction. Literally, to change your mind. We get our word metanoia from the word repentance in Greek. It was a very Jewish message up to this point that Peter's given them. And in verses 21 to 26, Peter connects Jesus to the prophets, claiming not only is he the Messiah, but the one that Moses foretold. In fact, he tells them, all the prophets foretold Jesus. But in verse 25, Peter goes back to Abraham, the time when Abraham, the first Jew, was first called to follow God. Verse 25, and you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant that God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Now imagine you're standing there in the crowd, and you're a Jew. You thought you were going to heaven because you were born a Jew. But here, Peter's calling you out of your wicked ways. You killed Jesus. Just as God had long ago called Abraham in the book of Genesis, a pagan, to leave all he knew, including his wicked ways, and to trust a God he barely knew. God had promised to bless Abraham. In fact, way back in Genesis, he'd call Abraham to follow him, promising, I will bless you, and you will become a blessing. And through you, all the world will be blessed. Abraham didn't know then that the language of blessing went all the way back to Genesis 3, when God had promised that through Eve, there would be someone who would come through their lineage, a ruler who would be born, a savior. He would bless them, reverse the damage done by the serpent in the garden, the damage caused by sin, and he would set them free. Not from the oppression of worldly tyrants, but from the tyranny of sin that lived in their hearts. My friend, God wants to bless you too. Jesus is the greatest blessing you'll ever know. And it may be hard to look at Jesus, who took the curse of God for all of our sins. But we've all had to look like this crowd did, and what our sins and rebellion did to Jesus. But despite it all, Jesus came to bless us. Now that is a God worth looking at. All you have to do to receive the blessing of forgiveness is to look at him, repent, change your mind, and follow his call.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.